Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
I'm guessing that that ending is something that Kirby Dach has been dreaming of and drawing up since he was moved from the Blackhawks this past offseason. He nets the third and final shootout goal to give Montreal the shootout victory, 3-2 over the Chicago Blackhawks here at the United Center on Black Friday. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up till 4:30 this afternoon. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. But before we get to your calls, we are going to head up and bring back in Kaylee Chelios, who's been on this call with John Weideman. And Kaylee, what a dramatic finish to this game. It was back and forth. The Blackhawks were able to muscle out 1 point, forcing this game into overtime. You'd like to see them get over the hump. And a full-on effort for the majority, maybe a little bit of a slow start to begin the game, but they didn't let that continue. And the drama goes Montreal's way and Kirby Dach's way as he silences the crowd here at the United Center today.
I know that one has to hurt Hawks fans, the celly with the glove to the ear and the straight face. I mean, you don't draw it up better for Kirby Dach than getting the game winner. But you're right. I think it started out a little bit flat. It's a 1 o'clock game. These two teams haven't seen each other, kind of feeling each other out a little bit. And then things got really exciting. The Hawks' comeback effort was great. Their penalty kill and OT, I think they showed some signs of a team that's still fighting every game and, you know, fighting for consistency. That's what coaches want to see. That's what your GM wants to see. Are they a better team, you know, every game? They have to ask themselves that. And I thought they were a much improved team from their third period in Dallas today.
Listen, I'm sure fans are frustrated about now a winless streak stretching to six games. But I do think, and I don't think this is sugarcoating things, I don't think this is just grasping for straws in terms of positiveness from this game, but it's got to be draining for this team to suffer these types of losses. You have a really rough loss in Boston, you have a near comeback against Pittsburgh, you cough up a big lead in Dallas, and just this one being a back-and-forth game, this has got to be mentally draining for this team. They understand it's a rebuild, they're buying into the system, but I think that's what's important to pull out about the effort that these guys are bringing in and day out, because losing isn't fun for the team. It just is. Hard as it is on the fans, it's even harder on the team. And they are not giving in despite what opponent they have, despite the way the game starts. And it just comes down to a few missed opportunities that is separating this team from a handful of wins.
And you know what? You'll take this one. One goal in regulation, you know, not in at even strength they allow against Montreal in some sense. Whereas in Dallas, I mean, that's a game where you give up 5-plus goals and they're not just on the power play. It's at even strength, and you have a 3-goal lead. So I want to think that that one stings a little bit worse when they had full control of the game and a 3-goal lead in the third. Mm-hmm. And this game, you know, they weren't necessarily ready from the start, didn't quite have their legs, and first shot of the game goes in. So I thought their battle back was good. They played without sacrificing, you know, on D. I didn't think they gave up hardly any outnumbered attacks, especially in the third period. And they possessed the puck in the offensive zone. They worked it around Montreal and finally found a way to penetrate them despite all the shot blocking that we saw from them in this game. So I think this game, yes, it's draining to lose, and especially in that fashion, Kirby Dach scoring the game winner.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, it's one step at a time. It's a long season, and we've seen other teams like Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Vancouver go on some awful losing streaks, and these are teams with higher expectations than what the Hawks have or what fans have for the Hawks. So I don't think this is, you know, a terrible game or one that's going to weigh on them too much, because I thought they played pretty well, all things considered.
Like you had brought up earlier in the broadcast, they are getting better at playing one-goal games. Now, they've got more experience on the trailing end of that scenario, and we saw a good example of it today that they're still in this one, even though they never had a lead. They were trailing for the majority of it. They were able to still make a point out of it towards the end of the stretch, and I think that is an example of how this team is still believing in itself and believing in its system.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to maintain that level of confidence that they had to start the year, where they almost had a bit of an underdog mentality from being underestimated and maybe underappreciated from some of their opponents. And that was evident even in games like Dallas. I don't think they respected the Blackhawks enough in the opening period and what they can do. And, you know, we saw probably the best 40 minutes of hockey consecutively that we've seen from them. So there's still a lot more in the tank. They haven't played their best hockey yet, and there's going to be high highs and low lows, but it's a matter of Luke Richardson managing this group and making sure they don't get too high or too low, and making sure these five-game winless streaks or six-game now don't turn into seven or eight and the team's just not playing better. So I think he's done a great job at managing the group, and getting back to these one-goal hockey games is kind of what their MO has got to be.
Trying to keep them even keel. And I feel like playing a lot of one-goal games is good for this team, just to learn that intensity, to learn that strong and even competition throughout a contest. Again, they're still missing that player, that instance, that maybe little extra drive to get over that hump. But I do think that's pretty big for a team in year one of its rebuild. Kaylee, I know it's been a big day and a fun day, whole bunch of family time, and now you get to have some more family time with a little bit of an earlier puck drop today.
Yeah, it's going to be great. They actually came to the game. I'm not sure who lasted and who didn't, but I've got a lot of text messages post-game with my kids with massive amounts of ice cream and candy, so I know their grandparents treated them very well here at the UC. I'm a little nervous to see what I'm going to go home with, but it is what it is. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to have the matinee with them.
Yeah, well, that's what grandparents are for, and hopefully they'll just have a sugar crash on the way home, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Could go, yeah, it goes one or the other. Either the crash or you get the absolute hurricane going into the car. So I'm very eager to see what I'm left with here.
All right, well, hopefully you can weather the storm like the Blackhawks have done this year so much. Great stuff, Kaylee. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Thank you, Joe. Looking forward to it.
Likewise. That is Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weideman with the call tonight as the Blackhawks fall in a shootout to the Montreal Canadiens 3-2. Really quickly, we are going to get to Jeff in Lincoln Square, but really quick, let's take a quick break for station identification. We're taking this Blackhawks postgame show up to 4:30 tonight. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. Jeff in Lincoln Square has decided to call, and Jeff thinks that the Hawks need to stay resilient, but he wants to talk about this shootout. What do you want to talk about the shootout, Jeff?
Hey, Joe, just thanks for doing this after Thanksgiving. You guys are amazing professionals. You know, about the shootout, I mean, color me with a pencil and call me Kaylee. Holy doc, how about that one? You got to give him credit. You got to feel happy for the kid. You know, that's really sticking it to the team that gave up on him. I'm proud of him. And I'm also proud that the Hawks didn't give up there. You know, it might be an inflection point of the season right here, but we're, you know, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. Great shootout. Great to see Taves impersonating Kaner on that one, too.
Man, lot of thoughts, Jeff. A lot of colorful thoughts. I appreciate it. It sounds like you were in Lincoln Square watching the game tonight.
Oh, you got it, Joe. You got it.
All right, Jeff. Well, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Take care. That is Jeff from Lincoln Square. Hat tip to a few of the things that he had mentioned. Honestly, I get where he's coming from in terms of good for Kirby Doc. Kirby Doc came into this organization with a whole bunch of promise, a whole bunch of upside. And let's remember, the Blackhawks kind of lucked into that number 3 overall draft when they had picked him. And there was some concern about when the Blackhawks went with Kirby Doc. He definitely performed at the level that he was expected to his first year, and then never quite got back to that level. Obviously, he was dealing with the wrist injury. That may have implemented his progression and rise through this Blackhawks organization. But, you know, we said this at the beginning of the broadcast. I definitely thought that Kirby Doc is a type of player that is going to benefit from a scene change. You come into Chicago with all this hype, all this upside, and you perform right away and you start to reap those benefits. But then the moment you're not able to get back to that level, you're going to catch criticism hard from the coaching staff, from the media, from the fans, and that's exactly what happened. So it doesn't surprise me that Kirby Doc's able to find success from a scene change. All that being said, I am very intrigued to see what type of player Kirby Dach would become under Luke Richardson, but it is good to see. I'm not saying I'm happy that he was able to silence Hawks fans, but hey, I mean, the Hawks fans decided to boo Kirby Dach. Kirby Dach's going to have an answer. He's going to have a response when he performs at the highest level, and it was his dagger that put the final nail in this coffin with the third shootout goal. Arvid Soderblom, another fantastic game, unfortunately gives up all three shootout goals, but listen, we're not going to dissect Arvid Soderblom's shootout performance. That's just not what you do with goaltenders, at least at the very early level of their career. It was another stellar game for Arvid Soderblom, but again, the Hawks fall 3-2. Big thanks to Jeff from Lincoln Square for chiming in. 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text. We got to get to our first break, though. Hawks fall to the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 in a shootout. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. The Blackhawks pick up their first point in their last six games. However, they do fall in the shootout 3-2 to the Montreal Canadiens. Kirby Dach with the game winner, the shootout game winner. And yes, Kirby Dach, now a member of the Montreal Canadiens, and had quite the celebration to wrap it all up as the Blackhawks now move to 6-10-4 with the shootout loss. Montreal back to two games above 500. They're 11-9-1 with the shootout victory. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 4:30 today. Let's get to the recap of how it sounded at the United Center today. It was a bit of a sluggish start for the Blackhawks to begin this one. That might be my only criticism of them, though, in terms of their work ethic through this entire game, because Montreal was able to pick up the first goal of the game on their first shot on goal of the game.
Armia gave it away at center ice, and Edmondson took it back. Put it in over the Hawk line, then Edmondson deflects a shot past Soderblom. He scores. Joel Edmondson on a give and go dropped off the puck along the left wing side, and it was spun toward the Hawk net, and he just reached out with the tip of his blade and deflected that one past Arvid Soderblom, and the Canadiens take an early 1-0 lead.
A factor of a Blackhawks turnover at the blue line. Got this note from Charlie Remeliotis on Twitter of NBC Sports Chicago. He had mentioned that this is the seventh straight game that the Blackhawks have given up the first goal of the game. And not only that, they've done that in 16 of 20 contests this season. Again, I still think the effort that the Blackhawks have been bringing in for the majority of this season is more than satisfactory. It's definitely what you'd expect and definitely impressive, but getting off to a quick deficit is definitely a reason why their record is what it is right now at 6-10-4. So something to keep an eye on for the Blackhawks moving forward in this game. They kind of figured things out after allowing that first goal in the first period, though. They had some good pressure, kept pouring on offensive chances. We saw Max Domi do a nice job of stealing the puck out of the air and stopping an opportunity for Montreal the other way. Soderblom with a couple of big saves, one especially on Josh Anderson, and a couple of good back checks by Andreas Athanasiou. So just good fundamental hockey played by the Hawks in that first period for the most part. So we moved into the second period. The Hawks actually had 7 seconds of a power play to begin it. Couldn't get anything going from it. But as the period progressed, they had some good hard work coming from their third line, and they were able to tie up the game.
Parra takes the puck back along the left boards. To Dickinson, left corner, to Caleb Jones. He shoots, he scores! Caleb Jones on the right wing circle takes a perfect feed from Dickinson, and he snaps it past Montembeau, and we're tied at one.
Good for Caleb Jones, who picks up his first goal of the season, his first goal since April 27th. In the last game, it was his brother Seth not netting his first goal of the year. So Jones ties things up, but one thing that we've seen way too much from this team this year is committing penalties after a big goal, or even just the shift after a big goal. So after the Blackhawks tied things up, Jonathan Toews went to the box on a slashing penalty. That put Montreal with a man advantage, and they were able to capitalize.
End of the line, Matheson to Suzuki, right circle. He shoots and scores. Nick Suzuki with a dead-eye snapshot from the right wing circle over the shoulder of Soderblom for his 12th goal on the season, fourth on the power play, and Montreal retakes the lead at 2-1.
So it's back to the Blackhawks trailing by a goal. They had to play a little bit more desperate, but they stuck to their game. Mackenzie Entwistle did a nice job of generating two scoring chances all on his own, shrugged off a really hard hit from Jonathan Kovacevic, and that turned it into a Blackhawks power play, where I think we saw improvement for the Blackhawks power play in today's game, especially later on in the third period when they were able to tie things up once again.
Taves took it back on the left wing side. To Radish left circle. Put it out to the line. Kane, a long shot. They score! Right in front of the net, it was Taylor Radish cleaning up the rebound. He put a backhander in behind Montembeau. And with 3:54 left in regulation, we're tied at two.
So Radish right on the doorstep, taking care of business, making things feel good. And we went into overtime where the Blackhawks had a couple of opportunities, including this one by Andreas Athanasiou.
And Athanasiou's got a breakaway over the Canadian line. And he's pulled down by Matheson as he tried to get to the net. No penalty is called.
He's kind of flipped after that. The Hawks were a little upset that there was no penalty called. And then Athanasiou was just out of gas. If he was a little bit fresher in that instance, if he wasn't on the ice for so long, he may have been able to break away and not even make it a situation where he's got a defender behind him. But instead, he and Max Domi were still on the ice when I believe Kane and possibly Taves were coming off the bench. So the Hawks were charged with too many men on the ice. I think they had five guys on the ice at one point. Just a rough break as they were caught in the midst of a line change with Montreal coming down the other way. So that gave Montreal a man advantage towards the end of overtime. They did continue the pressure, made it difficult for the Blackhawks to get anything going the other way. I will say Seth Jones had a couple of big plays in overtime as well. Just something that you miss seeing with him out of the lineup that he's been for the past couple of weeks, just running down pucks, keeping it in the offensive zone, and just little things that help create the Blackhawks' fundamental hockey. Unfortunately, they couldn't score. We moved into a shootout. Luke Richardson decides to go first with it. He goes with the captain, Jonathan Taves, who nets a backhander through the five-hole of Montembeau. And then Cole Caulfield responds with a goal of his own as he ties up the shootout 1-1. Patrick Kane got denied on a kick save from the Montreal goaltender. Nick Suzuki comes back the other way, patient as ever. He goes five-hole on Soderblom. And then Andreas Athanasiou kept the shootout alive. He scored a goal five-hole as well. Tied up at two. It was left for Kirby Dach, the former Blackhawk, in front of the United Center, catching some boos. And here's what happened.
And it's going to be Kirby Dach as the third shooter for the Canadiens. He can win the game here, the former Hawk first-round pick. Dach picks up the puck at center ice, carries it over the Hawk line, twisting down the slot. Dach moving, shoots and scores, and the Canadiens win in shootout. The final score of the hockey game, 3-2, as the final score of shootout is also 3-2, favoring Montreal.
Got to feel pretty good for Kirby Dach. Not great for Blackhawks fans, though. There's the game final as Montreal takes it in the shootout 3-2 and wins the game 3-2. The Blackhawks move to 6-10-4 on the season. With the shootout loss, Montreal improves to 11-9-1. With the shootout victory, they've also won now three out of their last four games. We've got more to get to. We're going to hear from Luke Richardson when we come back. We'll also take your calls, 312-981-7200. You can text that number with a thought as well. As the Blackhawks fall to Montreal 3-2 in the shootout, you're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720. WGN. Another tough one for the Blackhawks to swallow. They lose in the shootout to the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 here tonight from the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show taking you up to 4:30 today. There was a lot of connections in this game. We mentioned Kirby Dach with the game winner in the shootout. Obviously the former Blackhawk, former third overall pick. And Luke Richardson, formerly on the coaching staff of the Montreal Canadiens. He actually got his first head coaching experience with Montreal a few years back in the playoffs when their actual head coach had come down with COVID. So it was a bit of a homecoming, in a sense, for Luke Richardson hosting his former organization. Let's hear from the Blackhawks head coach after the shootout loss.
Would be nice, but are you happier with the effort from start to finish more today?
Yeah, you know, it's we played from behind a little bit tonight, but I don't know, maybe we're better at that this year, but I think, the guys, I thought we had a little trouble with our energy level tonight. I like the try, but it just didn't look like we had the legs there, and maybe just a little bit of the games catching up to us and no morning skate, and it's a little different, but I think they battled and they willed themselves to overtime and then had a really good penalty kill in overtime, and unfortunately they got the one more shot. Yeah. I'd love an extra point just because the way we've been kind of battling, I think the last few games we've had different outcomes. We've come from behind and then lost it late, and then we've had a great lead, great game, and lost it late. So trying to put it all together, I think it's fatiguing. They're trying, and I mean, that's, I think, gritty effort to try and get 1 point. It's at least a half a step. It's not the full first step, but at least we're moving upward, trending upward. And I think I like that. We have two more games at home, and I thought, you know, the energy level in the building was great before the game. With the holiday season, I think there was lots of people that were here and enjoying it. And, you know, everybody loves a shootout except for the team that loses. But there was lots of excitement, I thought. You know, a power play goal to tie it up was great, and a penalty kill in overtime was really gutsy as well.
Talk about that this morning, how important it is to get rewarded for your efforts. I mean, do these guys need a win, like, kind of the worst way right now, kind of validate them?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think with the low, felt like a lower energy level from our guys, it just felt like the schedule's caught up to us, and you know, we'll just take a lighter day tomorrow and get ready for the next home games and zoop it up in the morning skate. But you know, it's 1 point, so at least you can see something in the standings instead of nothing. And you know, we'd rather two, and we do need a win, and we want to deserve it and feel good about it. But I think at least we can look at, there's one more point in the standings, and now we're going to go for two.
It seems like these past three games, with a few exceptions, have been maybe one of your better three game stretches of the year. Is it frustrating to not have gotten a win out of any of these? You've ever been different things going on.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, coming from behind's tough, and, you know, if we could have pushed Pittsburgh to overtime, that would have been great. You know, the guys played really well that game, I thought. And then, obviously, the game was disappointing, was Dallas, where we really had it, and we, you know, we let them back in it, so that's our fault. So, you know, obviously, we got to try and learn from that. But tonight, I guess, you know, even with the lower energy level, I thought the guys really willed themselves to getting a point, and well, but it is frustrating. I think, you know, everybody loves to win, and it's disappointing sitting in that room as a player, putting all the effort out for 60 minutes and not having a point, or only getting one out of three pretty good games or good efforts as a team. So, but, you know, I mean, there's 82 games, so you have to look ahead and make the next stretch. You know, I mean, in your mind, you have to think as an optimist that the next three games are going to be two home wins and start off a good road trip on the road with a win. And that's the way I look at it, and I talk to the players that way, so hopefully they feel that way and confidence in each other. It breeds just like negativity does, so we got to make sure we're positive and help ourselves out of this, because no one else is going to help us out of it.
Yeah, it's up to the top power play unit late in the game. Is that going to be a regular spot, or...
Yeah, no, we had to make some adjustments. We just thought we were, you know, I thought the second power play was shooting really well, and Seth was part of that, and we thought we needed a little bit more shot mentality on the first unit, and, you know, maybe we got some great playmakers there, but I thought it was good to get Seth in a game and a half, and, you know, obviously seeing and watching what's going on and then being involved on the second unit, and then, you know, I thought he had a really good game his first game back, and he was skating that was well tonight, and he had a shot mentality, so it was time to make an adjustment, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But, you know, I think he deserves to be there, and I think he brings a different element to that first unit. You know, you got lots of guys that, you know, he's a shot threat over there, but it was a great decision. If they want to slip out and take that away on the power play goal, then Kane knows he can shoot it, and he has two guys at the net, so we got a rebound goal. So sometimes you're not always the guy shooting it, but you're the decoy, and you know, it's like when you play Ovechkin, sometimes they take him away, so they play a little bit of outnumbered underneath that, and that's what we, you know, and if they don't take it away, well, then he's an available shot threat out in that power play. So I would expect him to be there, but we'll definitely look at it and work on it the next few days.
Definitely seeing a more shooting mentality coming from Seth Jones as he returns to the Blackhawks lineup. The Blackhawks leader in shots on goal today was Andreas Athanasiou, who had six in this game. Let's hear from 89.
We wanted that second point, but did you feel like you played a pretty complete game out there today?
I think we played pretty solid in a lot of parts of the game. I think we have a couple of man rushes there, a little too many, but... you know, these last few games we've been playing some real good hockey for some good amount of time. It's just, you know, finding a way to, you know, just get those pucks in and, you know, capitalize on our opportunities, really.
What do you think of Soderblom on the, especially, like you said, on the chances,
I mean,
you guys gave?
He made some huge, huge saves for us, so he definitely kept us in the game there. So it was, you know, there's a lot of outnumbered rushes that, you know, he made some real, real big saves, and, you know, that kept us in it for sure.
It's become a tough trend for you guys to get the first goal of the game. What do you have to do to reverse that?
It's just coming out and being ready. I mean, I don't think anyone comes out and doesn't try to score right off the bat, right? They don't want to. And we're all trying, so it's kind of just bearing down and, you know, maybe keeping it a little simpler, a little more simple at the start of the game and, you know, find a way to just bang one home early, really.
I think a lot of folks, we didn't know what the season was going to be like and everything. Is it been, how tough has this last stretch been for you guys?
Obviously, no one likes losing, but I think in those situations, when you're in those times, it's kind of just, you know, put the bad in the past and take the good and try to run with the good things we're doing. And I think we're doing a lot of good things, and you know, we've played some real tough teams, and we've played them real tough, and you know, we're doing, like I said, we're doing a lot of good things out there, and we're playing with some of the best teams out there, so it's not a lack of being able to get the job done. It's just kind of just finding the balances, working through the downs, and, you know, just keep building as a team.
That was Andreas Athanasiou. Our three-star selection today is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. The number one star, former Blackhawk, and the guy who scored the game winner in the shootout, Kirby Dach. Taylor Radish is the number two star. He tied up the game late in the third period for the Hawks. Sean Monahan, the number three star for Montreal tonight. We'll take one last break, and then we'll hear from Caleb Jones, who scored his first goal of the season when we come back. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. Our player with the most heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. It's going to be Caleb Jones, who scored his first goal of the year this season, an up-and-down year for Caleb Jones. Let's hear from number 82.
Paulo, I know they're at the end, but did you guys feel like you better play a more complete game today?
Yeah, I thought our last three games, I felt like we've, I don't know what the numbers say, but it feels like we've been out playing them for stretches. Still things we can obviously clean up, but you know, you get the point there with a big power play goal at the end, and then just try to find a way in overtime, and then the shootout's just a skills competition, so it didn't go our way, but I mean, we should have to keep pushing. I think our game's going in a good direction.
Feel good for you to get your first?
Yeah, I felt good. I think I've had a lot of looks this year. You know, I had some assists, but haven't had one go in, so it was nice to see it go in.
Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Bud Light, Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. United Airlines, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives, and Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Big thanks to all the help back at the WGN studios, our producer of Ben Anderson, and our engineers Brett Jackson and the tireless Krista Flores. For all the help we got here at the United Center, our reporter Jack Heinrich, sound engineer of Paul Zerang, and on the play-by-play and color commentary today, John Weideman and Kaylee Chelios. I'm Joe Brand signing off. Once again, the final score, Montreal beats the Blackhawks in a shootout 3-2. Our next game is on Sunday when the Blackhawks host Winnipeg. It'll be a 6 o'clock puck drop, 5:30 pregame, right here on 720 WGN. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your Black Friday and enjoy the weekend. Kevin Wells has the news next. After that, it's Paul Lisnick here on 720 WGN.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN. Streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.